welcome to Authority Engine, your guide to accelerated business growth through podcasting. Now here's your host, Ben Kruger.
All right, all you podcast marketers out there, welcome to another episode of the Authority Engine podcast. I'm your host, Ben Kruger, the podcast marketing guy, and I'm really dedicated to helping you guys record, engage, and convert through your podcast marketing and becoming the go-to authorities in your field. So today we've got somebody on the show. We've talked about him on the show before, but he's never actually been hosted as a guest on the show. I'm very excited to talk to him because he started a podcast for his business, and he started a podcast to help grow his network, to make those connections that we all know are so important in the business and service space. And so we're going to be hearing a lot from him on how he got started, what it has done for him and his business, for his brand, how it has helped position him. And I'm very excited to introduce Vernon Foster. He is the host of the Event Supremacy podcast. You can check it out over at eventsupremacy.com. And let's get into it. We've got Vernon on the line, and we're going to have some fun today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's episode. I'm really excited because we have got Vernon Foster on the line, and Vernon has been running a podcast called Event Supremacy for over at eventsupremacy.com, all about helping people run incredible kick-ass events, or at least that's in the headline. And so we're going to be chatting with Vernon about his podcast, the successes that he's seen, and do a little bit of a case study on how it's really worked out for him. So Vernon, welcome to the show, man. We're excited to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You bet, man. You bet. Well, first off, you know, I wanted to say that Vernon has been a listener to the Authority Engine podcast for a little while. And yeah, I got introduced because you submitted a question via probably quite a long while back that I answered on the air. And then, you know, told me a little bit about your show, and I featured your show as one of our featured audience podcasts a long time ago. And so I've been wanting to line this up for a while, finally got around to kind of making all the connections happen here. And so really excited to talk about a couple things with the podcast launch. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Event Supremacy and kind of what you do with the show, the whole point, and we'll go from there, man.
Well, Event Supremacy kind of started on the premise of entrepreneurs aren't really leveraging events as a strategic component of their business model. And I have this thing called, it's called ACT. It's an acronym for Authority, Community, Transformation. And essentially, when you're doing a live event, if you put on a live event, you have the ability to position yourself as an authority, create a community behind your service, brand, or product, and really create transformations in your customers' lives. So that's really kind of the premise of the show. In terms of what we talk about, it's really geared toward entrepreneurs, event organizers, and change makers. This can be, you know, professional event organizers or all the way down to somebody that's putting on their first event. And a little bit of splash in there with change makers, which are speakers, people who may be putting on transformational events like the Tony Robbins of the world and a little bit of
hot coal walking.
Absolutely, man. Walk on glass, coals, water, whatever.
Walking on air. I love it. Awesome. So with the show, kind of with starting Event Supremacy, what's kind of your goal when you got started and what are you trying to do or what are you trying to accomplish with the show?
Well, initially getting started, I wanted to come out with a bang. I wanted to strategically position myself as the go-to event guy or the event dude, if you will, in the space, because really what I saw was that there was nobody talking. There's a couple of event podcasts, but there wasn't anyone specifically talking about, hey, yo, this is how you can use events to grow your brand and grow your business. Mm-hmm. So that was really the focal point with doing that. And in launching, I wanted to make sure I literally stockpiled interviews. So when I came out of the gates, I came out firing. I literally compiled 25 interviews from late November through late January. And then when we launched, you know, we came out of the gate firing. I started initially with one to two episodes a week. And then I just started grinding in the trenches and doing a daily show Monday through Friday every week for 8 weeks.
Yeah, boy, that'll turn some gray hairs quick.
Oh yeah, you know, man, you know how it works.
I'm familiar with how podcast production works. Yeah, so awesome. And in starting the show, you guys had quite a bit of success early on with iTunes New and Noteworthy, and kind of just getting some early momentum. Can you tell us a little bit about how that stuff worked out for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, over the, you know, anyone who's launching a podcast, well, first of all, you should be tuning into Authority Engine, because that's where I'm listening to your podcast at least, you know, once or twice a week if I can. And, you know, what you have to do is the first 8 weeks are critical. So if you can come out of the gate firing, getting reviews, you know, getting people to share your content those first 8 weeks, then you're going to increase the likelihood that you're going to be listed in the new and noteworthy section. Mm-hmm. And my strategy was, you know, obviously doing a daily podcast, you know, that's people sharing content every single day. And from that, we're able to get listed in the new and noteworthy, actually on my birthday, March 26th, and starting starting with training. And then it ended up, it's just trickled down from training to marketing and management and to business. I think you even sent me a screenshot. You're like, hey, check it out, man. So yeah, that was kind of the strategy behind it. And I mean, it worked.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so you guys got into New and Noteworthy and got a little bit of kind of listenership going there off the base. When you started, did you have an email list or any kind of community already built that you marketed to, or were you starting from pretty much scratch?
I did, but it wasn't an online community. I mean, this was mainly offline events that I've done over the last 2 years, and it was people who were just kind of following my stuff, and you know, they shared it out. But for the most part, it was really just starting from scratch and just getting in the trenches, man.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, what kind of growth have you seen due to the show and due to people, you know, either finding you through the show or people who already knew about you, but now that you put out a podcast and you literally advise them on a, you know, previously daily, now weekly or whenever basis, they trust and they've built that relationship with you to where they want to work with you. They want to, you know, engage with you further, share your stuff, sign up to your email list, all that kind of stuff. So what kind of results have you seen from starting up the show from a people wanting to engage with you further angle?
I mean, it's been surreal because, you know, I've had blogs before in the past, and you know, I'm not a good writer at all. I'm terrible, but I'm good at speaking. I think I'm really good with connecting with people in the spoken word. I think that's very powerful. And what I've over the, I mean, we haven't been around. We launched in February. It's, you know, it's in the end of April, depending on when the time you're hearing this. And, you know, from that, I've been able to solidify a sponsorship deal with Pick-A-Tick, which is a online ticketing platform similar to Eventbrite, Ticketly, but they're based out of Vancouver, Canada, British
Canadian
Columbia.
Canadian tickets, eh?
Exactly, eh? And also, I mean, just really being able to develop relationships with people who are now I'm going to be doing events with. I'm doing a mastermind out in Vegas that I put together for Ben Atkins and Lo Silva. I'm doing the SOB Summit here in Orlando with the guy by the name of Tanner Larson. Working with Startup Jungle that they're going to be putting on an event in New York in September for startups out in Brooklyn. So it's been surreal, man, to say the least.
Nice, nice. So essentially, it has been kind of the connector that has helped you kind of take some of these relationships to a higher level and give you access to some of these new relationships that you didn't have before that are really high leverage points for you and your business. Is that pretty accurate?
Precisely, man. I mean, if someone asked me today, if they came up to and asked me, you know, what do you think I should do with my business? What's the best way to market my business? I'd tell them to go start a podcast.
Yesterday. Quit messing around. I love it. I love it. Awesome. So with the show then, and so you're doing a lot of these live events, and you had mentioned a mastermind, and you're building some relationships. When you're putting on a podcast, has your actual list grown, and has, you know, kind of that side of things? What have you seen as far as, you know, growth of followership and that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, I haven't really seen a growth in the list yet, just yet. But I've mainly been focusing, as I told you on the call, most people, and I would highly recommend that you outsource a lot of the stuff that I did, because I think I did it the wrong way. I was doing content production, post production, reaching out to people for my interviews, and, you know, doing all that. And it was stressful. It was very time consuming. So from that, I have neglected building my list and, you know, some of the email things that I need to be doing that are essential to really creating a real online business. So I've neglected those things because I haven't had the time. But also I've, you know, had other opportunities to where we're going to be launching a product. It's going to be licensed through Startup Jungle, because they've seen the consistency and the hard work that we've, you know, that we've put out over these this short span of time.
Yeah, and I can say that this happens for a lot of people, a lot of our clients as well, that have gone through our Power Launch program, that once they get up and running, they may or may not see an immediate, you know, skyrocket in their email list. You know, some do, some don't. But like you're saying, that's not really where the value of podcasting comes in. A large portion of it is the new network that you're able to get, some of these connections, some of these, you know, business relationships, and the access to their audiences is, oh my gosh, that's so big. So I love that for you particularly, that's really where the powerhouse value has come from. And I do want to touch on kind of the, you had said if you were to start over, you would outsource some of the pieces, like potentially lining up the interviews, getting the show set up, you know, the post-production and that kind of stuff. Obviously, with Authority Engine, we provide some of the back-end services with our podcast Power Publisher stuff. There's one other service that I want those of you out there to know about that I'm not in any way affiliated with, but is incredible for lining up guests. If you do a guest show, it's called Interview Connections. So interviewconnections.com. It's run by Jessica Rhodes. She does a great job and can really secure some killer guests for you. So, you know, if you're looking to kind of streamline that side of things, that's incredibly helpful. So with you, Vernon, now that you're kind of up and running and you've got a little bit of a process going, you've got a little bit of a routine going, you were saying that they've seen the consistency and the hard work that you guys are putting into this show and into kind of helping the audience and nurturing that audience. What are your plans for the future of Event Supremacy, be it the podcast as well as kind of in general, whether you're looking to put on events and you know, this mastermind stuff you're talking about? So kind of the future projection or trajectory you got going on here.
It's crazy, man, because it's what has happened in the short time that we've been in the game in terms of the podcast game. Like, I can't even tell you where we're going to be in, you know, 2 years, a year, 5 years. I will say that I'm going to continue to do the podcast regardless of, you know, whatever I have going on, just because it allows me to build connections with people that I wouldn't have access to otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. It gives me an opportunity to build these relationships by interviewing people, you know, by maybe helping them in ways that, you know, they may have not known, or introducing them to relationships and strategic people to help them grow their business. So regardless, you know, of the events that we do, or, you know, how crazy it gets, you know, I've committed to my audience to at least, you know, put out one episode a week throughout the duration of 2014. Moving forward with events, you're going to see a lot more events. You know, I'm definitely going to put together a boutique agency.
Well, you're the event guy. You know?
Yeah. But it's definitely, you know, entrepreneurs, I think we're starting to see the power, especially online entrepreneurs, the power of getting in front of, you know, their audience, getting in front of people who, you know, they want to build relationships with. For example, I know you're speaking at, or you are on the bill for a podcast movement.
I should be speaking. I hope I hope that's still the case. I know they're still doing a lot of organization and that kind of stuff. But yeah, according to me, I'm speaking.
Absolutely. So I think we're going to start to see more of those types of events pop up in specific niches. And it's really, there's nothing more powerful than getting in front of a person and speaking to them and connecting with them. You can't replace that. There's nothing in the world that can replace that person-to-person interaction. So I think we're going to see more of that. Yeah, look out for, you know, the event agency, a boutique agency geared specifically towards startups and entrepreneurs, for sure.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love the trajectory here, Vernon. Okay, great. So one of the other things that I want to cover, you know, obviously our audience is generally people like you that have got, you know, their own business going, or they're working up, you know, a business, whether it's a service or consultancy or, you know, e-commerce or whatever the heck, and they're interested in using podcasting to grow that business, or at least potentially. What would you recommend to somebody that has not gotten started yet, knowing what you know now?
Man, there's a couple things.
That's a big one, isn't it?
I'd say there's three main things. The first and foremost is to have, I say this with the people who, I tell, you know, my audience or people who organize events this all the time. You need to have a team. Like, the more that you can outsource or, you know, have people doing certain tasks, the more efficient you're going to be, the better quality that your work's going to be. Like, think of it like the Model T on an assembly line. You know, every worker, or now they're machines, but every machine or section has their own component that they work on. And the final product, that's, you know, when it comes out on the end, it's beautiful. So post-production is one of the things that I've struggled with the most. I'd recommend them outsourcing post-production. The second component of that would be learn Twitter and learn how to reach out to people via Twitter, because that's where I get most of my interviews. And the third thing would be to use Schedule Once, because it is amazing. I know you use that too.
Oh, man, that has made my life so much easier, Schedule Once. You know, because before you do the back and forth, oh, how's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday at 6 a.m., or what time zone are you in? Oh, my gosh, you know, you got to start all over. So that is killer, killer advice. And so let's say that somebody has gotten up and running and they're moving. Let's say they've got, you know, an outsourcing team in place. And you had said that you reach out to people via Twitter. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you go about that and how you can kind of line up people as either potential guests or at least just begin that relationship via Twitter?
Yeah, I'd say reach out to people that aren't as affluent or, you know, established in your niche, and work your way up. I say that for two reasons. Not because they will, you know, some people will say no, some people will say yes. But I say that because if you're just getting started, you need to learn how to interview. You need to kind of cut your teeth, and it's better to cut your teeth on, you know, not necessarily the people that aren't important, but people that you're more comfortable with, and then work your way up to the bigger bosses or the bigger people in your space or your niche. And then the other component of that is in terms of reaching out, you wanna come from a position of value. Don't come from a position of just like, I don't know how to explain this, but when you reach out to someone, everybody has an ego, right? Everybody wants to be the rock star. Everybody wants to be in a position where they got the spotlight on them. So you have to kind of play off that psychology of it.
You know, especially the people that you're going to want to bring on your show. They're, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you come from a position of, hey, I would love to have you on the show, and I think it would be extremely beneficial because my audience needs X and you provide X. So why not come on the show and explain, you know, X to our audience? Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah. And it's always positioned in a way that, you know, I'm not trying to wrangle you onto my show. I'm giving you the opportunity. Yeah. I'm giving you the opportunity to share your knowledge with my audience, because more than likely my audience will, you know, buy your product or service because they, you know, need what you do. They would really love your knowledge because this is exactly where they are, and that, you know, that kind of thing. So essentially whatever their end goal is, you're trying to help them get there.
Bingo, man. You nailed it, dude.
Bingo. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's one of the things that really freaking drives me nuts, to be honest, is, you know, everybody's like, hey, I just started a new show. Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. I am not going to do that unless I'm going to actually listen to your show number one, and number two, unless I actually like the show. So, you know, those blank requests, I think throughout the history of internet marketing, those are the type of people that don't see any results. And that's why is they don't do, you know, there's no interest in who they're actually reaching out to. It's just a total self-serving thing. So it really comes down to giving and helping others, people get what they want, and that will come around something fierce. So awesome. So we're kind of coming towards the wrap-up section here, Vernon. And so I wanted to ask, in particular for our audience, you had already said if they hadn't gotten started, a couple of things that they could do that would really help them out. Once somebody gets up and rolling with the show, and once somebody is starting to build those relationships, because it seems like this is something that you're particularly good at, how do you advise they go about building the relationship beyond just an interview so that there can be more there to that business relationship? Do you have any methods particularly that you use, or is it generally just be a social dude?
I think being a social dude definitely helps.
That's pretty hard, actionable wise.
I think you have to come from a position of value always. Like, you know, if you just have to, you know, if you can connect that person with somebody else to help them grow their business, or if you can, you know, share their content with your audience, or if you can do some kind of collaboration. I mean, everybody needs help with something. Everybody's not an expert at everything. So if you can come from a position of value, and you know, you're honest and you're ethical, and you know you can help them with something or help them grow their business based on whatever your expertise or knowledge is, you know, it's a win-win. And I think that there's always people out there. Business people are always looking to you know, grow their business. They're always looking to be more savvy. They're always looking for help to be more efficient. So if you can, you know, kind of nail that down, then the relationship, you can nurture that relationship and grow it for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. So Vernon, thank you so much. Really appreciate everything that you've shared with us today. If you want to learn more about Event Supremacy, get in touch with Vernon, sign up to his email list, whatever, check him out over at eventsupremacy.com. There's all the goods there, like his Facebook stuff and all that kind of stuff. So Vernon, really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your experience with podcasting, your advice with those out there who are, you know, maybe a little bit behind you in the trajectory, because it's always a flowing
path. Just getting started,
man.
They're not behind. They're not behind. Thank you for having me, dude. I'm honored. You know, I've been following your podcast really since I got started, and a lot of the tips and stuff that I've learned has come from, you know, your wisdom or the guests that you've had on the show.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch. Might have you on here in the future to see what kind of big growth is happening over at eventsupremacy.com. So thanks, bud. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, man.
All right, Vernon, we had an incredible time talking to you about your show, what it has done for you as a person, your positioning, your brand overall, and that all-important network that you've been able to really build, nurture, and grow using the podcast as kind of a cornerstone to help you get there. So, Vernon, really appreciate you coming on the show, man. It was an incredible time talking to you and hearing all of your knowledge and sharing that expertise with our audience. And I want to say to those of you out there that are listening, in the intro, I actually never talked about the featured podcast for this week, so I'm going to skip back and hit on that. This week, we're going to talk about The Tim Ferriss Show. So it's a brand new podcast. It came out, by the time this goes live, it came out about 2.5-3 weeks ago. It's an incredible show. I listened to their second episode, which hosted Joshua Waitzkin, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, but he's an incredibly intelligent guy. He was the basis for the book and the movie Searching for Bobby Fischer, a chess prodigy, really intelligent man who has been doing some real high-level performance coaching to help people who are good or great even become spectacular and become literally the best in the world at what they do. So You know, that episode itself was incredible, and I'm really looking forward to the entire show overall because, you know, if you guys know me at all, you know that I'm a big fan of Tim Ferriss and his work. What he's done with 4-Hour Body, 4-Hour Work Week, all that stuff has been incredibly influential in what I've been doing. And so if this is at all interesting to you guys, I would highly recommend you go and check that out. So before we sign off here, I want to say that this is episode number 41, and you can learn more about this episode, get, you know, all the show notes and all that fun stuff over at authorityengine.com/41. You can learn more about Vernon and his show, his event planning business, and all of his stuff over at eventsupremacy.com. You know, as you've noticed throughout the interview, he's an incredibly brilliant guy, and he is just crushing it. He is on his way. So thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. And I want to remind you to go out, record your killer content, engage your audience, and convert those listeners into paying customers. I'm Ben Kruger, the podcast marketing guy, and you've been listening to Authority Engine Podcast, where I'm dedicated to helping you grow your business using the power of podcast marketing. We'll see you back next week, folks.